Stripe Show podcast on a Tuesday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day.
Hope you're off to a great start
this week. Got a big one this week. A big one this week on the PGA Tour. Sanderson Farms Country Club of Jackson. We'll get to that momentarily. Our guy is, he's back. He was on the road there for a little bit up in Canada. President's Cup. Back home. Our man at Read the Line, Keith Stewart. How you doing, man?
Oh, bonjour. Comment allez-vous? No, it's I'm enough with the French. That's for sure. Yeah. It was a great week. U.S. did their job. That was important.
Yeah.
Got a little muddy in the middle, but the top 10 in the official world golf ranking that on our team that rank inside the top 20 did their job, and talent took over eventually, and it was a good week. You know, it was a good week in President's Cup. I'm sure we'll get into it.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, we were texting throughout the event, you know, round one, it was like, you know, 5-0 American. It's like, you gotta be kidding. I mean, you got to at least get 1 point there, don't you, international? And then to fight back day two and make it 5-5. I mean, I gotta tell you, I mean, I'm an American and I wanted the U.S. to win, but I was fired up. I loved it. I loved the international team. Day two came out swinging, fought back 5-5. That's like, this is what this needs. This is what the President's Cup needs. You know, and then, you know, here we are. Talent, you know, plays out 18.5 to 11.5. The Americans just pulled away. And it was that afternoon session on Saturday that did it in. You know, you just, you know, I got to tell you, I mean, the Kims, Siwoo and Tom threw the kitchen sink at Xander and Patrick. I mean, they threw everything at them, everything. Making putts from all over the place, and it comes down to 18, and Patrick does his thing, just cold-blooded, makes it, and they win one up, and that was it. It was over. It was like, game over. They threw the kitchen sink at him. The two guys, Xander and Patrick, just sat there and took it, and they win on 18, and it was just inevitable on Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that 18th hole, Patrick gets up, smokes a drive over the water, makes it by 5 feet. Xander, you know, hits it up there nice, and then it was dark. It was literally dark. Mm-hmm. And they put him away. You know, they were joking that night in the press room. It was Henley, Burns, Xander, and Patrick were in the press room that night. And either Henley or Burns called Patrick an assassin, right? And the guy's a trained killer.
Yeah.
When it comes to these team events, he's 15-6-1 in four of them. Two President's Cups and two Ryder Cups, 15-6-1. I mean, that is an unbelievable record. And he did it again this week, 4-1, 4 points. I mean, when you look at it, the big four for us, they scored 15 points on their own. They only needed the other eight guys to come up with with a half a point in order to win the cup. You know, Colin had four, Patrick had four, Xander had four, Scotty had three. You know, it's a lot of points to overcome. And, we are good at the top, which is good because Bethpage is right around the corner.
You know, we are good. I mean, I don't want to sound like, you know, arrogant here, being an American, but USA, man, I'll tell you, they're good. I mean, they're great. Yeah. I mean, to take on the rest of the world. And I know the Ryder Cup has the European countries and that's more competitive, but to take on the rest of the world and to be that dominant it really is. You got to take a step back and you just got to be like, wow. I mean, this is, you know, Americans are pretty damn good at golf.
These guys
are really, really good at golf. I mean, and Patrick gets a beating for, you know, he's boring. He is, you know, and he's even keeled
and
you know, there's no up, there's no down. It's the tip of the cap. It's the shuffle of the feet. It's the one or two looks. It's the hit. It's his gait pattern. He's not smiling and it just can wear you out, right? It can wear you out
and match play for sure.
But my God, he is one of the best in the world when it comes to that setting. And look, this is heady stuff too. And I know he has a partner and that helps in Xander, who is the second best player in the world. And that helps, but you know, look, you don't want to let your teammates down. There is this added level of pressure to these team events, and he just hits it head on in spades. It's really fascinating to watch.
Well, I mean, you want to talk about the Americans being good. What if we took Homa and Harmon off the team and replaced them with Brooks and Bryson?
Exactly.
I mean, seriously. Exactly. Like, what are we talking about? Exactly. And we're going to need them at Bethpage because Europe's going to come at us with everything they got, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, but overall, I don't want to sound like the international team could never win a cup. They've only spent about 10 years of the 30 years that the event's been around really trying to bring the globe together as one team. You know, when did Ernie come up with the shield? You know, maybe 10 years ago, and the black and gold and all of that. And, you know, a lot of people ask questions all the time. Hey, you're there. Is the international team as close as it seems? Like, well, yeah, they keep getting closer. I was there in Charlotte. They were close. They were much closer this time. They keep getting closer to one another. And that's a huge challenge that they face.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people forget that the early Ryder Cups, we won 22 of the first 25 Ryder Cups.
Right.
Right. And then they expanded to Europe and they did all these things. And now the Ryder Cup is where it is. Yeah, it's been a landslide in America's favor. But man, if you're really paying attention, a lot of those matches were one down losses by the international side, and their core group of people have bought in to what Ernie Els is selling. And kudos to them. Medina, probably not going to go well, but they go down to Australia in 4 years at Kingston Heath. You probably make Adam Scott the captain, and I give him as good a chance as ever to break the streak, and we'll see what happens from there, because that could really be a launching point for them, especially with the crowds in Australia.
You know, it's going to be more of a home field, at least you would think, in Australia. It just didn't feel like that in Canada. We talked about it, you know, in the home field advantage of what that golf course, if any, could be. And it just wasn't, you know, and the crowds picked up as they went. But look, you make good points about the Ryder Cup. It took it a while. I don't think the President's Cup is going anywhere. This is the PGA Tour. I mean, I think they make money on it. I mean, I think I don't see them continuing this if they're losing money on it. I don't think the ticket sales were where they want it to be up there in Canada, but it's never going to get to where it needs to get to and the potential of it until the international starts to win. It's just not going to get there. And so that's where, you know, look, you lose by seven, man, you just walk away thinking, man, are they getting closer? I think they are. I think they are, but that was a major disappointment in the end that the Americans walk away by seven. Look, I want the Americans to win, but I was fired up after Friday, man. The internationals are fighting back. They're going to win this thing. There's some tension between the teams and the players, and Tom Kim is getting under the skin, and Wyndham Clark's being Wyndham Clark. And it's like, this is great, right? This is great. This is what the President's Cup needs. And they're going to win by one on this putt on 18, and the internationals are going to celebrate. And, you know, they lose by seven. They get in the end, they get their ass handed to them. And it's like, damn. All right. Regroup. Yeah. Back to America. Back to America in two years, which I don't think that's going to go very well for him, but you make a good point. In 4 years, maybe it's different. Anyway. Yeah. All right. Let's get to the chicken. Sanderson Farms. CC of Jackson. Yeah. I got to tell you, I mean, I've spent too much time this morning looking at this field and looking at these numbers. And my God, I mean, you look at previous champions, you look at the skill set that it takes to win here. And I don't know. I mean, I'm going to lean on you probably more than I have all year. You're the expert. So I'm going to give you the floor here, and I'm going to, you tell us, CC of Jackson, par 72, what the hell we're supposed to be looking at here when we're handicapping trying to find a winner this week.
I mean, let's keep it simple. We don't need to overthink any of these FedEx Fall Cup venues, right? And the reason I say that is that we've been playing for a decade now here at the Chicken Championship, right? The Country Club of Jackson has been the host site. A lot of these fall venues, when we come on Tuesday, they're going to be the same ones. I know next week's a different event, but the Pro Corps was in Napa, Silverado, same place. This is the same place. Bermuda's the same place. RSM for Sea Island, same place. So like we know who the winners were and we know what they're very good at. And there's one common theme. I know Luke List doesn't fill out the putter theme, but the guys can putt Bermuda grass here. It's champion Bermuda. We're down south. It is grainy Bermuda grass. Same thing we see in Memphis and some of the other places there on the PGA Tour and, of course, in Florida. And you got to be able to putt. And once you kind of look at that and then you back into it a little bit and you say, okay, well, all right, if I'm going to make my 15 to 10 footers or whatever, what am I hitting in here? Okay, well, about 40% of the approach shots are coming in from 100 to 150 yards. Okay, so I need a good wedge player who's a good Bermuda grass putter. All right, that qualifies. And then I'm probably going to be better off on a par 72 golf course playing from the fairway that's so short because it's going to give me more opportunities to spin the ball and hit it close. Okay, weather's been great down there. They've gotten just enough rain to have the greens and the golf course be perfect, but there hasn't been a ton of rain. They weren't affected by the storm last week or anything. And certainly our thoughts and prayers from everyone here at the Stripe Show go out to all those people all through Florida and Georgia and North Carolina, South Carolina, and all the people that were affected. But like they didn't get that kind of rain out there. The place is in perfect shape. All my sources are just saying that, you know, it's going to be another week at the Sanderson, which overall means you want great putters. Length would help off the tee, but accuracy is a little bit better. You know, the combination of each would be good. There are some great drivers in this field. And then you got to be good with a wedge. And it you don't need to think about it much more than that. The biggest question mark comes in that we've played one PGA Tour event since the Wyndham, which was like 2 months ago. And you could have questions about form.
Yeah.
Because the strokes gained data only covers the Pro Corps and then the Wyndham and other things. And like, what have they been doing for a couple months? Right. But overall, you know, I went and did a deep dive on the fall for the last 2 years because the venues are the same. And then I looked at who's been playing good since the US Open. Mm-hmm. And those names are certainly guys that we could lean on and have some win equity. I think we could make some money this week. I'm certain of it.
Okay. Okay. So we're going to the split to the Bermuda is important here.
Yeah.
And you mentioned 100 to 150. Those are 100, 125, 125 to 150. I've certainly entered those into what I'm looking at here. Last 24 rounds, you want the top putter and top person from 100 to 150 yards is Taylor Montgomery. You're going to bet him? That dude hasn't hit a fairway in three tournaments.
Well, I mean, I did throw the caveat on the end. We would like someone who could drive the ball on the planet.
Number four on that list is Mackenzie Hughes, who won this event back in 2022.
So the model checks out, right? Okay. Mackenzie Hughes is going to have a huge emotional letdown.
Yeah.
Not maybe someone to bet this week as a betting favorite, but like when you see past champions, like recent past champions pop up in your model and you go, okay, well, this makes sense, right? Like, okay, we have validation there now. Like, let's get into some of these other names.
So this is interesting because like you look at like Luke List 1-23. Okay. You think of Luke List, you don't think of a guy that can roll the rock, right?
No, not at all.
Sergio Garcia won in 2020.
Yep.
Not exactly a first-rate putter.
Yep.
So right there, you've got a couple guys, just the previous winner and Sergio, who got it to 19 and Luke got it to 18. You know, they get to these greens. I don't think these greens are overly difficult, are they? I don't think like we're looking at bunch of, you know, tricky types of putts. They seem pretty straightforward. But the Bermuda hint maybe eliminates some of the terrific putters. And Mackenzie Hughes, we know, is a fantastic putter. He struggles, you know, maybe off the tee a little bit in the iron game at times, but around the green and on the green, the dude's brilliant. Sam Burns, we know, can roll the rock, and he has no problem when it comes to Bermuda. Munoz back in 19, if you want to go way back. So, you know, so there's some bomb and gouge in there, it looks like to me, a little bit. And then there's also some of that hint that, all right, maybe I can get by with someone who, you know, has got some length, good iron player, good wedge, but just, you know, here I am once again trying to convince myself of maybe not the exceptional putter. He comes here, he finds some form and wins.
I mean, really what it comes down to it, even though Luke List was not a great putter, historically, whatever, obviously he could putt Bermuda grass greens. It comes down to he's hitting shots close. I mean, this is a birdie fest, right? You need 20 on average the last decade, you needed 23, subpar scores in order to win, you know, like that's a lot of birdies. So, you know, like I feel like, from a ball striking perspective, we could be very tight in what we're looking at. And then when it comes to, you know, putting, look for the guys that are really good on Bermuda grass. And I think that that's going to give us a nice little tight team of guys with which to build out a betting card.
Last 24 rounds coming in. This is the other wrench coming in this. Like you said, it's hard to get a feel for current form coming into this. But last 24 round birdies, Sam Ryder's one, Taylor Montgomery's two.
I would look at a couple of the columns there.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to go there. Jacob Bridgman's three. Dunlop could play this week. Pearson Cootie, Davis Riley.
Dunlop's an Alabama boy, too, you know.
And the next guy on this list, great segue into all the first clip. Next guy on the list, take it away.
Oh, mine? My first click?
Yeah.
Give me some room.
All right.
Boom! Charlie Hoffman.
There he is, folks.
Green glove. Green glove. Gotta love it.
Charlie.
Drives the ball great. Okay. Has had a very solid year, right? And can make a ton of birdies. Great wedge player. All the above. You know, he's won four times on the PGA Tour. Twice has been in the fall. The guy's got he's got great strokes gained history on all these fall venues. I love it. You know, I think it fits good, and it goes along with, you know, kind of what we've seen in the fall when you get a Sergio, when you get a Luke List, when you get, you know, some of these Peter Molinari, you know, like some of these guys that have been touring veterans for a long time that win at this place. And that's where I'm at. He's hitting the ball beautifully, and this is a place he could score on. So I'm in 66-1, dropping like a lead balloon. Come on.
Wow. I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised that that's what came across my text toy here as the first look. You know, Charlie, hey, for people who are watching, I've got a swing up. It's such a good swing. I mean, it's just simple. I mean,
really
this is
good.
This is one where you could show like a 49-year-old man and say, hey, I want to show you a few things, right? And you could pick a number of things to show him.
Oh, right? Man, the wrist angles, everything, his posture.
Everything. This little window right here, check this out. See a little window open up between his knees?
You know
how often I work on that with guys that come in here and they're getting older, they're losing flexibility, and their swing continues to shorten. And then I show them how to get that little window in there and kind of lengthen it out. I think Charlie has actually increased that change of knee flex as he's gotten older. So it's a simple swing. He's worked with the Mark Blackburn for years. And
and you know where they work on it.
Yeah.
I'm there in Alabama.
I'm a little surprised. I'm a little surprised. You know, my guy, and I'm going to put this up, is not a great putter. Okay. And so, you know how I like to do it. And sometimes it pans out, you know, sometimes I get hot and
neither was Luke List.
And so this is the guy that I'm going with, Chan Kim. I like this guy. And the one thing that I've been able to do over the years is get out in front with some dudes. And I've kind of been out in front with Chan. I like Chan's game a lot. Works with Dana Dahlquist, so I'm a little bit biased there.
Yep.
Chan drives it well. I think his iron game is really good. I think his short game is overrated. And I do think he is starting to become a better putter. You're starting to see some positive strokes gained putting. His finishes have been very consistent. You go back to kind of post-US Open like you were talking about. I'm going to throw a few tournaments out there, and you're going to say, well, those aren't exactly stellar fields. Well, this one isn't exactly a stellar field either. So John Deere 12th, ISCO 10th, Wyndham 12th, Procore 26th. The reality is, you know, he's probably hitting the ball well enough to win those tournaments. And so can he, you know, come here, a little Bermuda grass, pretty vanilla, and maybe he goes positive, you know, three with the putter. And as good as he hits it, Chan Kim gets the win. So I love Chan Kim, top 20. I'm sprinkling a little on him also to win. And right now, Kim is 35-1. I got him a little better odds than that. So we're giving you some things to chew on here today. Chan Kim, 35. Charlie Hoffman, would you say it was 60?
66. He might be down like high 50s by now.
Yeah.
He's been dropping very, very quickly.
Now, this is a tournament, folks. Keep in mind that the favorite to win is Keith Mitchell. All right. Right now, the favorite to win this tournament right now on Odds Checker is Keith Mitchell, and he's at 22-1. So Vegas is like, what are we doing? Right. I mean, this is they're even handicapping this right now, going, okay, what exactly are we up against here? Keith Mitchell, 22. Seamus Power is second on the board with Mackenzie Hughes at 25. Does that interest you at the top of the board, those three? Or are you going to go down to Nick Dunlop and predict him to win his third tournament on the PGA Tour at 28-1? I'll go down to Mav McNeely. I think Mav McNeely, you talk about, I'm going to sprinkle it around a little bit. I'm not just going to hope on, hey, I need a good putting week from a great ball striker. I'll go Mav McNeely, who can kind of do a little bit of everything and is a great putter on Bermuda. So I'm going to sprinkle a little Mav.
At the top of the board, you know the way I feel about Cashmere Keith, right? I love him. I used to bet him all the time. Yeah. I finally lost it at Houston. You know, he was such a great course fit, and he missed the cut badly. So it's been 26 weeks since then, and my recovery is going very well, I'm happy to announce. And it's going to continue for 27 weeks. Mac Hughes, he was great last week in many ways. And he didn't play great on Sunday, losing to Max Homa. But the emotional letdown there, I mean, there are not going to be any national anthems being yelled at the Country Club of Jackson in his honor. Seamus Power, a little bit too roller coastery. Mav McNeely, I've been there too many times recently. Nick Dunlop, you know, I mentioned earlier, Alabama kid. You know, he's definitely going to be very familiar with these surfaces. A lot of people are going to be all over Ben Bermuda Griffin. I get that, but I'm going to go with the next two names on the list.
You going to go Fishburne?
I'm going to go Fishburne and Spawn. Yes. For sure. Yeah. And so going back to Chan Kim for a second, right? Okay. Here's why Chan Kim, I don't know if I'll bet him as an outright because of the lack of the putter, but he is a great placement bet and a head-to-head matchup bet. And here's why. If you look at strokes gained, right? First of all, everyone's like, oh, you know, like these middle tier events. These are the only events you need to look at, right? Him comparing apples to apples. I don't care about Chan Kim in the U.S. Open, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody does, right? I care about him in the John Deere, the ISCO, the Barracuda, stuff like that, right? Wyndham. Yeah. Chan Kim is a top five strokes gained total guy since the U.S. Open. So let's just use that as a date on the calendar against in this field. Fishburne's up there. He's up there. Kuchar's up there. J.J. Spawn's up there. I mean, these are the guys that are playing the best this summer, and they're coming into the fall, where I already told you I did a deep dive over the last 2 years. Now, Chan Kim doesn't have any history. Fishburne doesn't have any history. But JJ does. It's good. Kuchar does. It's good. You know, like, so if you look at that, kind of those two developing patterns and where those storms come together, Chan Kim makes a lot of sense. He doesn't have enough course history, but you know what? That might not be a bad thing if he doesn't putt well normally, right? He could have a good putting week. But the ball strikings, first of all, Chan Kim's a big dude. Right? Big, strong guy, fits the mold of a modern golfer like a Patrick Fishburne. This is a golf course where you got to take advantage of the par fives and do everything. Yep. I love Chan Kim this week. I'm not going to bet him to win, but I guarantee you he will be.
You should, because you're going to lose money if you don't. You're going to lose money if you don't. And because he's going to hit the putter. He's been above water now, I think, for the last six tournaments in strokes hand putting. I mean, it's starting to get better. This dude's going to win. You know, and I've been touting, you know, I've been touting Chan Kim for a while. Like, this guy can play. This guy can play. And his ball striking, he can get to the green, let him figure it out a little bit around the green. It's going to happen. He's too good. And this very well could be the week. I'm kind of bullish on him. I'm so happy to hear you say the name Patrick Fishburne, because That's the other one that
really good.
Yeah. I like Patrick Fishburne this week. He checks out on that Bermuda as well. He was third at Procore. Yeah. Patrick. Yeah.
He had a chance to win.
Yeah. Third there. He checks out a lot of the spots that you want here for Sanderson Farm. So yeah, good. Kim Fishburne, your boy Charlie Hoffman, Ben Griffin, like you said, will get some play.
Sure.
As we go down towards the middle of the board here.
Hey, just real quick while you're looking down the board to find the next people to talk about, right? If people think we're crazy, right? The three guys we bet the most, you and I collectively, on this show last fall in the eight events were Davis Thompson, Cam Davis, and Taylor Pendrith. Now my memory's not good, Travis. It's not the best, right? I'm a little older than you. But last time I checked, all three of those guys won this year.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So when we bring these things up in the fall, when you're looking at the Chicken Championship and the field, you know, you don't even know who the people are in 6K land on DFS, right? Like, you don't even know who these names are, right? Trust me when I tell you, right? These players are trending towards wins, you know? If Patrick Fishburne doesn't win here, he's a perfect fit to win at like Mexico next year or something like that, or at Mexico at the end of this year. Like, those are great spots for those guys. So you got to pay attention to this research right now, because it is going to give you positive betting cards over the next 12 months.
What do you know about this Matt McCarty guy? You know anything about him? Matt McCarty. I mean, he's bet down to 53. Now, Mac Meisner, McCarty's bet down to, he's bet down to, I see him at 45 right now. Wow. Now, Mac Meisner is a guy that I know, and I've thrown his name out there a little bit.
Yeah.
He's all the way down there at 45. And Meisner, you know, you look at, God, it's amazing how time flies, because I can remember walking with Meisner at the PXG College Showcase the first year that we did it, walking the fairway with him and Austin Eckroat, and just the nicest dude, and just hitting these towering drives. I mean, like, you know, like, he would hit it and you just like look up and it's like, holy crap, that's up there, you know, and it just stay in the air for like 10 seconds. And so you look at him, stroke scan off the tee in this field, 26, approach 18. I think he checks out with his wedge game.
I bet him at Procore and he missed the cut. So
His putter. All right. His splits are best at in Bermuda.
Yeah.
Missed the cut at Procore. He was 12th at Wyndham. I'm probably going to pass on Meisner this week, but he's a name, you know, I'm not as bullish on Meisner as I am Chan Kim, but it's a name that I feel is starting to float up a little bit more as we go. And as he continues to get comfortable out there on the PGA Tour. I mean, if you want to talk about a couple of names in the field, I mean, we're kind of struggling. We're struggling for some name brand in this tournament. I mean, Harris English and Kuchar, right? And would you go Kuchar 1, English 2, if you had to bet some past PGA Tour champions, or would you go the other way around? They're pretty close in odds, around 40, 45.
Yeah, Kuchar's just been playing so much better lately. Yeah. So I would definitely go Kuchar 1, Harris English 2. But both of those guys all fall, going especially into Sea Island at the end. If both of them won this fall, it wouldn't surprise me. They both have very good history over the last couple of years, strokes gained on all of these venues. So,
Would you tell me to stay away from Rico Hoey or bet him in a top 20?
Ooh. Well, you're not going to get a good number in this field on a top 40. So,
top 20.
Yeah, I know, but I was just looking for more, more width on that bet. For all the reasons I love Chan Kim, I worry about Rico Hoey.
Okay.
Right? So, like, if you gave me the choice, like we always do when there's, like, real names in the field, and truth is, folks, we're not making up Rico Hoey as a name or Chan Kim, but they're real golfers. But If you know, if you did like the whole, like, you know, pick one or the other, I just love Chan Kim and his fit this week more so than Rico Hoey.
Yeah.
But Rico was good in the summer. He's kind of tailed off a little bit, whereas Chan keeps like, looks like he continues to get better and better. And that kind of excites me, you know? So,
you know who's down there in this 65-70 range that has played exceptionally well in Jackson, Mississippi? Is Henrik Norlander.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, this dude, I mean, yeah. he's got a membership. I mean, there's no doubt he's got a membership here. I mean, he's T2 last year, T24 and 23, and a pair of T4s.
Yeah.
2022 and 20. I mean, Henrik Norlander, folks.
Yeah.
You want some odds, and you want to get into the, you know, have a chance to win come on Sunday. I mean, Norlander's proven it for his last 4 years. He's right there.
Yeah, and not to mention the fact that, you know, so I bet him on the placement charts when at Procore, and, you know, he was kind of up and down, roller coaster-y, but, like, I felt like Norlander is the type of guy who strikes the golf ball so good, and when he's on a comfortable golf course, it's Bermuda grass, he tends to putt above average, so, like, C+, B-, but the way he strikes the golf ball, it's good. I mean, he was eighth at the Omega Masters the week before Procore, so I was very high on him at Procore, not to win. But certainly here, with the way he's been playing lately, and, you know, those guys that go over to DP World and they play well and they come back here and, you know, he'd settled into this golf course. He's definitely someone that's on my, who catches my attention from an outright point of view that's further down the board. Okay. It would not surprise me in the least.
Yeah.
With his track record, with three top fours and a runner up last year in the last 4 years in this place. He's obviously comfortable at the Country Club of Jackson.
Do you think
more so than, let's say, Ricky Fowler, who's in the field and hasn't played since Royal Troon?
Right. And Fowler's in the field as we go down the board now. I mean, Norlander's checking in about 55 right now. Cameron Champ's won here. He's 60-1. You know, so now Patton Kazari, of course, he won Pro Car. He's at 66, probably feeling good with that extra 2 years. Goddard, you know, we know of him. He can hit it off the tee, struggles probably a little more than you want with the wedges. I've seen his name kicked around a little bit. Is this, can you bomb and gouge here? I mean, do you feel like, you know, is the rough as such where you can bomb and gouge, or would you steer from that a little bit?
No, I wouldn't steer away from it as long as the guy can putt.
Okay.
Right. So if Patrick Fishburne has proven he could putt.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if he bombs it. Yeah. I mean, I think so many PGA Tour players are great with their wedges. That kind of takes that strokes gained category and almost neutralizes it, right? Mm. So now I'm looking at, okay, I think about that Sam Burns, Cam Young, you know, showdown the year that Sam Burns won 3 years ago, right? And, like, those guys were just letting the driver out, like letting the shaft out, just swinging for the fences and then just making every putt they could. And I really think that that's the path to success here. You know, like, you have to be able to hit your wedges good, but, like, who on the PGA Tour, like, struggles from 127 yards, you know, hitting their sand wedge to, like, you know, 12 feet and in every time, you know, like, they don't, you know? So right. What's really going to separate you here is how much closer you can get off the tee and be in the fairway and roll the rock. And those would be the two areas that I'm kind of, like, using, you know, after approach to, like, really, really break down this card. And if you look at the way that the guys, like, that I've mentioned already, like Fishburne and JJ and Charlie and everything, the way they've been playing lately, like, they have Charlie Hoffman has been a really good driver of the golf ball his whole career on the PGA Tour. He hits it super straight. He's a great wedge player, and he's proven he can make a lot of birdies. So, and he likes to play in the fall. So, like, that's your recipe there. You know, earlier you brought up, like, Taylor Montgomery. Like, everyone can hit wedges like Taylor Montgomery, you know? But what happens when Taylor's hitting driver against Patrick Fishburne? Who's going to win that tournament?
Well, I mean, and there's something wrong with Taylor's driver. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, that guy is all over the place off the tee. I mean, he has finished ninth here. This should be a good place for him. This should be a good place for Taylor if he could reasonably hit his driver off the tee. I mean, wedges and putter. I mean, he could go low here, and he's got a top 10 the one time that he played here. I haven't heard the name that I've heard from you a little bit, and that's JJ Spahn, who's had good late summer.
I said him earlier with Fishburne.
Oh, you said JJ. I missed that. Yeah. I just Fishburne. Okay.
But, yeah, it was probably my screen was lagging, but yeah, JJ, I'm betting for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he's going to win this fall and
yeah, he's playing. Know. Yeah. JJ folks is really playing great. And you can very well make the case that he's might be the best iron player in the field potentially.
Oh yeah. And I mean, all right. How many guys in this field are gaining 7 strokes total in their last 5 events on average? Nobody. You know, so he's definitely somebody. I mean, you got to remember he had a bad weekend at Procore, but he was right there. Mm-hmm. He and Fishburne were right. You know, we were betting them at Procore and they were right there after 36 holes. Fishburne goes bogey, bogey to close Saturday. JJ has a bad Saturday. And then boom, we're kind of out of it because Kizire goes nuts. But like we had that place pegged and we had guys that were there, you know, in the top 4, right? Going into the weekend doesn't always work out. It's betting, you know, like, but I feel very confident that these names that we're talking about are going to be heading in a similar direction come this weekend as well.
All right. So we're getting closer now to the hundreds and, you know, this is the, you know, look, Garrick Hago's played well here. I just can't go there. I think with Hago, you know, he's got a couple top 20s, including that third back in 2023. Just looking at some of the guys last 5 years that have played well here, but you know, you got a lot of guys, first time they've been here in like a Chan Kim and a Hoey and a Fishburne and these guys that we've already kind of went to that, you know, don't have much course history here. But as you get into the hundreds and you were to steer the ship, any interest down the board?
It's waning.
Yeah.
And mainly because when I go back to my research on the guys that have played well the last 2 years in the fall, a lot of those names don't pop. Mm. Right. And that gives me pause.
Okay.
Right. And there's a reason why. Okay. So Chan Kim or Patrick Fishburne 6 months ago was 125-1 to win. Right. Now they're playing well and they're in a field that's weaker. So there's still that guy. I mean, we're still betting those types of guys. You just can't get that level of hit versus a guy that was 400-1. And now in this field, he's 150-1. I don't know. I don't know. And I mean, we could get burned on that, but when it comes down to it, you know, it's going to be one of these middle tier guys. And don't forget for a moment, just because we haven't done this in a couple weeks. And then we went to the President's Cup and it's a completely different format and everything. But like, look at the guys and where they sit on the FedEx Cup points list, right? There are some guys like a Matt Kuchar that's sitting at 102. He has a great couple of weeks here, right? And then he's all set for next year. He's in the top 125, and then he could take off till probably like Sea Island or something like that. Like, look for the guys that need to push a little bit. You know, maybe Matt Hughes is here this week because he's a defending champion, but also he's 51st on the FedEx Cup points list, right? 2 or 3 events in the fall where he top 10s, and then he's guaranteed to be in those first 2 signature events in California, right? He won't go to Century, but he'll make it in the Pebble and in the Tigers event at Genesis. You know, pay attention to those points lists and where people sit, you know, where's Chan Kim, 92, right? 92. Motivated. Fishburne, 82. Fishburne goes out, wins one of these events. He's going to get in that top 10 from 51 to 60, and he'll play in signature events. That guy's career could be skyrocketed, right? So I think that those little edges that we understand alongside the guys that are playing very well, JJ Spaun, 100th on the list. You know, the way he's played all summer, he doesn't deserve to be 100th. He wants to get himself comfortable and maybe take the rest of the weeks off and then know he has his card for next year and get ready. So
where is Svensson at? If you have it right there.
73.
He's 73. That's a guy. That's the one guy I skipped over on my notes.
Very good in the fall, by the way.
Very good in the fall.
Last 2 falls, he had a win, but very good in the fall. Very good on Bermuda grass.
Very good on Bermuda grass.
Birdies.
I think that would be the last name that I would throw out there is, and I skipped it over on my notes here as I pull back here, is Svensson. And, you know, he's look 13th at Procore, 7th at Wyndham. The putter has really caught in form, and he is putting the lights out of the ball right now. I I'm fine with his approach game. His driver's been a little iffy at times, but yeah. I like Svensson here a lot in the fall. I think it's a good place for him. That's the last name I'll throw out there.
Another guy with John Graham, like Aaron Rye. Yeah,
that's your boy.
Yeah. I mean, I got, you know, John and I are friends, but I wouldn't mention his name if the guys weren't doing well.
Yeah.
You know, like it wouldn't come up. There'd be no point in bringing it up. But I mean, Aaron Rye is an impeccable ball striker, and what he taught him to do with the putter is so impressive. Yep. And he's been working with Svensson since, you know, the beginning of 2024, and Adam continues to get better as a putter. He's a brilliant ball striker. You know, yeah, so
Svensson I think is a good bet here.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of these guys that are sitting there in that like 50 to 80 range that with what's there, 7 weeks left, with three good weeks, you know, say they go three straight top 20s, they can have a good chance to get in those signature events, and that changed their life.
Hey, Cody Gribble's won here. Cody Gribble's won this tournament.
Yeah.
Alabama.
So is Peter Malinati. Peter Malinati won on tour this year, right? And look at his number this week. And he's a past champ.
Yeah. Wow. Crazy. I mean, Lipsky, 150.
Yeah, but his superpower is long iron play, and you're not going to get to separate here as much. So I would worry about him.
I've heard Naismith's showing form. He's back.
Naismith's been good here before for sure.
110 to 1. There's that no putt team that I get gravitated to, you know.
Yeah.
God, I wish Joel Damon could putt.
Oh my God. I mean, I would bet. I mean, Joel was fantastic last fall. He had a bunch of top tens. He was so good, and he can't putt. And I saw him out in Vegas, and I was like, Gino, what do we got to do, man? Like, what do we got to do? He's like, I don't know. He hits the ball so beautifully, Joel. Oh, man. You know, it's a shame because Joel sits at 118, right? Mm. So he's got to play all fall. If he doesn't putt one good 1 week, right? He's got to play all fall because he's going to continue to come in like 30th to 50th place. And he's only going to get so many points, and he's going to grind till the very end. But man, oh man, I would love to see Joel just get hot with the putter 1 week. Yep. And because the ball striking is there every week.
It is.
It's a shame.
Wedges in hand here, in play off the tee, wedges. I mean, just God, it's got to be so frustrating, you know? And it's not that it's not just chilly. It's like -4, -5.
I get the whole Lucas Glover thing, right? Yeah. Like listening to him in the press room live talking about how far he had gone searching for a way to putt, knowing with 500 PGA Tour starts in his career how well he struck the ball just to stay there. Like, I tried lefty, I tried long, I tried short, I tried belly, I tried this, you know, like over the course of his whole career. You know, it's just, man, I don't know how guys like that do it. Like, they can't putt like that. That just blows my mind.
It's brutal. It just has to.
Mentally.
Has to. All right. Any other? Uh-oh. What happened here? There we go. Any other bombers out there that we need to take a look at? Actually, before you start, if you're like most golfers, you blame yourself when you miss a short putt. So after you hold back the urge to throw your putter in the lake, don't do that. You try to fix your putting stroke. But how long does that last? 1 week, one round, one hole? There's a company called Lab Golf that doesn't think you should be blaming yourself. That's because all putters have this thing called torque, which means the putter face is trying to twist during stroke. So you grip it like a snake. What Lab Golf did is they figure out how to make putters with no torque. They call it lie angle balance. And you have to feel it to believe it. I did. The Lab Golf putter, you don't have to use a funny putting grip to try to keep the face square. You can putt it any way you want because Lab Golf putter stays perfectly square by itself. It's effortless. To see how much easier putting can be, head over to labgolf.com. All right, so I got Kim, Fishburne, Svensson. I like Cooch. That's kind of where I'm at. You go down to the bottom of the board, middle of the board, top of the board. Anybody we skip over on your notes?
No, we're good. We're good. I mean, I think that of the, let's say we mentioned 10 names strongly, 8 names strongly, that those 8 guys, you're going to get 2/3 of them are going to contend this week. They'll be in the top 15 and they'll have a chance to win.
Yeah.
And remember last year was a five-way playoff. you know. Yep. So guys will go deep here. There's going to be some early rabbits that'll go out and they'll run hard, and you know, first round leader might be like eight under or something like that. You got four par fives, par 72, but in the end, guys will separate with their driver and their putter, and that's where I would lean. I'll leave it at that.
You think we're going to have any clarity at all before the end of the year on professional golf? You think there's any, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is, we've come to an agreement and it's going to look like this, and it's not going to start until 2026, but you know, this is kind of what we're looking at.
No.
Any clarity?
No. No. And I think we got a big hint about 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. The story didn't really get pushed as much because golf wasn't happening that week. So really the media was all, you know, wasn't together to kind of push it. But when they said the biggest hurdle right now is that the PGA Tour players that stayed loyal want those guys to give money back or to pay a bunch of money in order to come back.
That ain't happening.
What, on a scale of one to 100, what's your percent chance that that's ever going to happen?
That ain't going to happen.
It's not going to happen. -4, right? So if that's the holdup, the longer we go, the less people miss Brooks. They miss Bryson, but they see him on YouTube. The less they miss Rahm. It's so obvious that Rahm thought that this thing would be fixed by like the US Open, and that's why he did it.
Yeah.
Rahm hates it over there. It's so obvious. And he thought that him going over there, it would all flip, that they had it all worked out. And I just don't see how the sides really come together right now if they can't agree on what the path is back for the players. And I'm not talking about Lee Westwood. Nobody cares about that, right? They care about the guys that are the names just like walking right back in, and they took $150 million, right? Yeah. And you could see why that would be a problem for Patrick Cantlay and those guys pack, you know?
Yeah, no doubt.
And certainly Tiger, because Tiger was offered more money than anybody. He could have went and taken $1 billion and then walked right back, right? So the fact that they're trying to protect the integrity of the tour, I think, puts this thing in a position where they actually have to like walk away from the table for like 6 months and then come back and go, okay, like, all right, there's a lot of layers to this onion. Let's peel a different one back and see what happens. But from what I see out there, we could see where this weekend, where it really hurt the tour. Brooks, Bryson, Joaquin, Cam Smith, those guys have all been there. It would have made the event better.
No doubt.
So I don't have good news there.
I tend to agree with you. It's funny, you know, Rahm thinks when he left, like he's going to help bring this thing together by him going. Sure. And it's probably the number one, you know, point of difference of, okay, well, Rahm took all this money. Now he's going to come back and just start playing again. Like that's, you know, like it's a major, major point of contention. It's almost like there's three buckets here, right? Of how you look at this. And I give, hey, look, Liv's not for me. I can't get into the whole team thing. And, you know, look, if they go out and they're spending money and they're growing the game, God bless them. Go do your thing. Go take the money and all that. And that's what it is. I don't love it for, I think, the scope of the game. And, you know, what we've, and these players being divided, I don't think that's great, you know, long-term, but it is what it is. And, you know, like there's a few buckets, you know, bucket one is you got a player is like, look, I want to play against the best. I want to put my record up against history on the PGA Tour. That's the benchmark. And, you know, there's enough money in it for me to do that, right? And, you know, you got JT and you got Spieth and you got those names. Yeah. You got the other side of it, which is I'm going to take the money, right? The money is elevated and I'm at that point in my career where I'm being less competitive. And Westwood and Poulter and McDowell and those guys, they run into Bubba and they take the money. And off they go, right? And even I would put DJ. I would put Dustin Johnson, sadly, in that bucket. I think Dustin, he took the money. He's happy. He doesn't, you know, he's kind of, you know, he's did his thing on the PGA Tour. He's not interested in building upon it, you know, over a period of time. The money played out. It was at a point where it's like, I'm going to go take it, and I don't care about the rest of it. And then the third bucket is where you get caught in between, you know, and that's the tough part. And that's where Rahm is. He's caught in between because Rahm cares about where his name stacks up about against those PGA Tour players and playing against the best week in and week out, and not this limited field and this silly team competition that everybody, they think that they're convincing, you know, the masses on. And so I think Rahm is in that third bucket. And I think there's a few others. I don't think Cam Smith necessarily is in that bucket. I think, I mean, I kind of get the sense Cam Smith, you know, he took the money, he's happy. He can go to Australia. He can fish. He was just in here a month ago. And I don't really get the sense that he's, you know, caught in between, but I think Rahm is, and I'm sure there's a few others. And that's a tough place to be, because, you know, man, you know what, Rahm, if it doesn't come back together, you're not going to see the light of day on the PGA Tour again. That's the reality. if these guys can't bring it together, and I don't know how you bring it together, Keith. I really don't. I these egos involved, there's a lot of money involved. There's a lot of voices. There's a lot of chefs in the kitchen. I don't know how you bring this together where everybody's like, you know what? That makes complete sense. Let's do that. Everybody's happy. It's not going to happen that way. I don't know how you do it. I really don't.
Trav, the PGA Tour is alone. They're alone.
Yeah.
Right. They're the last cookie to crumble. Right. Okay. The PGA of America already said you could play the Ryder Cup. They're already in all four majors. Right. These guys, they can play in the DP World Tour events if they pay a fine or whatever, who cares? Yeah, right? All right. So you're basically saying that, like, you just can't play on the tour.
Yeah.
Well, at some point, even if LIV went away, then all those guys just pumped right into the DP World Tour or something. What would that do for the PGA Tour?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like the whole, like, again, I just feel like, there, we've seen this a bunch of times over the years in business where, like, the two sides they can't see a clear path. They need to stop for, like, and maybe they haven't been talking for a while. Maybe they're doing that right now, but they need to stop and, like, figure out, like, okay, what does everybody really want about all of this? And then go from there. But,
well, there's going to have to be some concessions, Keith. Like, there's going to have have to be some small concessions on everybody's part. And that's where it's going to get muddy. You know, how much are you willing to lean in and give up for the greater good, right? And for us to work together and these guys to come back together. And there's going to be some heartache and there's going to be some troubled waters. But what are the concessions? And you know, no one really knows. No one knows what the real talking points are behind closed doors. No one knows. That's the frustrating part. But I just, you know, I bring it up because I'm reminded again, you brought it up earlier. Like, God, how fun would it have been Brooks and Bryson and Cam Smith and Joaquin Neiman and who else am I missing? Munoz, right? I mean, what have Munoz been playing too?
I don't know how good he's been this year on out there, but certainly those first four would have been there. Yeah.
Well, there's a name. Sebastian Munoz won on the PGA Tour. I mean, when's the last time you thought about him? You know, it's just Joaquin
Neiman. He won here. He won here.
Right. He won here. Yes, right. 2019. I mentioned her at the top of the show. So these are the guys that were up and coming and names that international players on the PGA Tour and man, I haven't even thought about them in months, the hardcore golfer. And I know, look, and maybe LIV takes over and that's what professional golf is, you know, 10 years from now. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. It's just frustrating when you don't really, there's just no answers, right? There's no, man, you know what? If they just did this and this, boy, I think that I could see that. Like, I don't know what it looks like, you know, but I just know there's got to be some concessions. There's just going to have to be some concessions on both sides. And what if they announced it, you know, 2 months from now, like, hey, we've come to an agreement and here's what it is. I think people get excited, you know, like we're coming together. Guys are going to play together. Whatever it is, Keith, I really do think like for me, like I would get excited that, all right, these guys are all going to be coming back together and playing again, which I think is awesome. Would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be great.
Would be awesome.
Would be great. You know, Keith
Mitchell being the low odds guy this week. No offense, but
yeah, I mean, take us away.
All right, enough. What do we got next week? By the way, what is it?
Black Desert Championship, brand new event in Utah.
Let's go. Let's go. Black Desert Championship in Utah.
Yep. Tony Finau on the board right now, 4-1 to win. No, I don't know. I'm just making that up. If Finau was in this field, he'd be like 5-1 to win for sure. You know, he's got to be there, right? Utah, it's got to be Finau.
Yeah, he's going to be there. Oh, yeah, for sure. All right. At Read the Line, Keith Stewart. See you next Tuesday.
Peace.